Morning. Well, as Bob alluded earlier, you know, we will be resuming our series in Exodus next week. But this time of year, we like to look at, you know, this. It's not just a symbol, but this whole idea of a new year that's approaching us. And as I was looking at the new year and thinking about the passages, by the way, you might want to limber up your fingers this morning, because we're going to be all over the place this morning as far as different scriptures that we're going to look at. But I was thinking about this theme of newness, and the image that came to my mind was Mel Gibson's film The Passion, and perhaps you watched that several years ago. And there's a particular scene in there where the actor who plays Jesus is walking on the Via della Rosa, if you will, the way of suffering, way to the hill, the cross. And he quotes Isaiah chapter 43, which is also quoted in Revelation chapter 21. And it's quite riveting when you see this actor portraying Jesus. And as he falls underneath the weight of the cross, you know, if you've seen the film, it's a very graphic film. There's blood and spit flying everywhere, and he just, you know, he's on his way to his death. And Mary, the actress that plays Mary, runs to him. You know, she has this flashback when Jesus was a little boy, When he was a little boy, he fell, and she ran and helped him up. She says, "Here, I'm here. It's mother, I'm here." And so when she sees him fall on his way to the cross, she runs to him. She says, "I'm here." And the Christ figure says, "See, mother, I am making all things new." And that verse that is quoted in the film is from Isaiah 43. It says, "Forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." And of course, as I mentioned, this verse from Isaiah 43 was quoted in Revelation 21. And listen for this idea of newness. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said," and this is the quote from Isaiah, "I am making everything new. Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So I don't know if you've caught the irony of that quotation that Jesus quoted from Isaiah 43. God is making a new way, a stream in the desert. Now, he's not taking the deserts away. He's not taking necessarily our wildernesses away. But he's making a new thing in the desert and in the wilderness. Behold, everything is new. And that irony again of Jesus carrying the cross, and he falls underneath its weight, and it looks like everything is lost, and he's being beaten severely and blood pouring everywhere. And he looks at his mom and he says, "See, mother, I am making all things new." Wow. So As we look at this new year, just a few questions I want you to ponder. I know I've pondered this week getting ready for this message. Would you like to be renewed? Is there something in your life and you say, no, I'm pretty much set, pretty much got my life under control. Everything's fine. I don't need anything renewed. I'm not sure if there's anybody here like that. And if you are, tell me your secret sauce after the service, because I'd like to have a sip of that perhaps. Renewal. We all need a sense of renewal. We all need a sense of hope that things will be new in our lives. Of course, the question is, how will you be renewed? How? How does that take place? But before we look at this message, I do want to kind of address the other side real quickly, that there's a tension, isn't there? About, you say, I don't know if I even have the energy to be renewed. I just been through Christmas and I'm, you know, all this crazy stuff and I'm so tired, and now here you are, a pastor, getting ready to preach a sermon about renewal, and I'm not sure that I even have enough strength to pursue that. Part of me wanted to encourage each person here this morning to look at the person next to you, and some of you are sitting all by yourself and don't have somebody next to you, but for you to look at the person next to you and say, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, and that's okay. You know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to say, I'm not really sure I have the strength to pursue renewal, and we'll look at that toward the end of the message. But I still hope to tap into something that you have this morning, a desire for renewal. I do want to encourage you, though, before we look at this, and this is just a little principle that has helped me over the years, and it's this. This is not in your outline. This is freebie, if you will. It's the idea that the only people who truly change, because we're going to talk about change and renewal, but the only people who truly change are those who realize that God still loves them, even if they never change. Think about that. So God will only be for me and be behind me if I'm toeing the line. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He demonstrated his own love for us by this. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. You say, I don't have the energy to change or to pursue renewal. Guess what? He still loves you. He's still there for you. But with all that in mind, I want to look at some practical steps that you can take toward renewal. These are things that you have probably heard before. But the first one, the step that you could take toward renewal, is wait on the Lord. Now, that's a lot more difficult than perhaps as at first blush that we look at that. But I want to talk about why this might be more challenging than what you might think. But wait on the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 40, if you have your Bibles, it's on page 702. Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah is addressing a nation that has been in captivity, and they're very, very discouraged. And so he comes along in chapter 40, comfort, comfort my people. This is verse 1, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. But then if you jump all the way to almost the end of the chapter, verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you ever felt that way? God, you've forgotten about me. You say you're for me, but I don't see it. My way is hidden from you, my cause is disregarded by my God. Verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, here's the idea of renewal, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord, that's the key. Wait on the Lord. And there's another verse in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3, this is found on page 799 of your church Bibles. This is very interesting. I wish we had time to look at this in more detail, but as the name of the book implies, this is a book of lament and sadness and grief. And one of the most famous of our hymns comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. As the writer looks around and everything is in disarray, the city of Jerusalem is in rubble. Just terrible, terrible scene. Then he looks around and he says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. There's that idea of newness. Great is your faithfulness. Then look at verse 24. I say to the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. We're talking about waiting on the Lord. Now let's stop and think about this. The Lord is my portion. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Here's where sometimes it gets difficult. Because the writer is not waiting for God to do something. The writer is not waiting for God to come through in a certain way that he imagines God will come through. That's not what he's waiting for. He's waiting on the Lord. Period. You see, our problem often is that we're waiting on God to do something that we've pre-imagined that he should be doing if he loves us. And when he doesn't come through in the way that we imagine that he should, if he's a good God, then we get frustrated and annoyed and bitter and angry or just cynical. We still go through the motions. We still might perhaps pray, but we really aren't hopeful or renewed. Why? Because we're not waiting on the Lord. We're waiting on him to do something that we imagine that he should do. When the writer to the Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, he says, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Jesus was able to pursue all all the way to the cross and give up his life on the cross because the Lord was his portion. Even as he was dying, he said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. We must learn somehow to long for him more than we do any idea of what you think he should be doing in your life. Do you long for him? Do you wait for him? If he is our portion, he will renew our strength. By the way, there's a side note here, just by way of illustration, that might flesh a little bit of this out. I have a pastor friend that also has a ministry to other pastors. He does counseling and encouragement, and he's been a real blessing to me. And he was sharing that he had another pastor in this area that he was working with. And he says, this pastor, you know, he'd go through the motions every Sunday, but deep inside, and he'd only share this with my friend. He wouldn't share this with his congregation necessarily. But he says, you know, I've been mad at God and just very, very disappointed in God. And that's a real mild way of sharing what he was feeling. And then my friend helped him peel back the layers. Well, why are you mad at God? Why are you disappointed in God? And to make a long story short, my pastor friend who was helping this other pastor, he helped him to realize that the Jesus that I was mad at and the God that I was mad at was one that I had concocted in my mind over the years. And when I truly began to meet Jesus again freshly, perhaps maybe even for the first time, I started to worship Him. I started to love Him and be loved by Him. I was angry at an imaginary God that I concocted in my mind. And the Lord says, if you want to be renewed, wait for Me. Find Me as your portion. Your portion cannot be what you imagine I should be doing in your life, because that will inevitably fail you. And as we get older and we look back, we'll say, thank God that imaginary God failed me. So wait on the Lord. Find Him to be your portion. Secondly, the second step you can take toward renewal is look inward, not outward. Now let me try to explain that. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, found on page 1121 of your church Bibles, let me give you just a little bit of context. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the last verse of chapter 3, it says, we who have unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. And we're being transformed, this idea of renewal, into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Do you ever lose heart? You say, my heart's just not in it. I'm discouraged. Well, jump forward to chapter 4, verse 16. Paul has a whole number of paragraphs. He finally gets back to his point again. Therefore, he says again, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away. None of you guys feel that, right? Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I remember sharing with someone earlier this morning. I remember a couple years back, I was offended, slightly offended, when the first time someone looked at me at the Salvation Army as I was buying some books, and they said, do you get the senior discount? And I wasn't quite 55 yet. That's when they started giving the discounts, and I thought, no, I don't get them. See, now I say, give me that discount. But outwardly, we're wasting away. And I know some of our young people can't relate to that at all, but just give it time. Your body starts to break down, your hair gets gray, and your joints get shabby. And so do you look at that? Will you be renewed if you look at your body? Will you be renewed by watching the news when you get home and you look at everything that's outwardly happening in this world? Will you feel renewed and encouraged as you look at the daily events that are unfolding before our eyes? Will that encourage you? Most likely you'll be more depressed if you look outwardly. But Paul says, we do not lose heart. Why? Because outwardly things are wasting away, we are wasting away, yet inwardly were being what? Renewed day by day. And so a step toward renewal, look inward, not outward. And we're talking about looking at the witness of the Spirit. You know, as Jesus, when he was on his way to Golgotha, if he looked outwardly, would it look like renewal? No. He says, Mother, look, I am making all things new. Didn't look like it, though, did it? But he was looking at the witness of the Spirit, if I could suggest that. And that's really the whole context of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians all the way through chapter 4. And because of that, because we look inwardly at what the Holy Spirit is saying to us about what is true life, it's not what you can see necessarily. It's what you can't see. For what is seen, it's temporary. Temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. So you look inwardly. Listen for the witness of the Spirit inwardly. Of course, if you're not a believer, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this will make no sense to you at all. Looking inwardly. This can be misunderstood. I'm not saying pull yourself up by your bootstraps, look inwardly at your strength. You can do it. No, no, no. You listen to the Spirit's witness. So we wait on the Lord. We look inward, not outward. Third step you can take. So you think often about God's many mercies. And perhaps the key thought here, the key word is think. Think. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, page 1100. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm just going to read you a couple other verses that talk about this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And then finally, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. You know how important it is what you choose to think about every day? You will not, and I will not, be transformed and renewed if the things that we think about are the news, which is kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? I mean, the news. I often will quote Eugene Peterson, and here's his paraphrase of Romans 12, 1-2. Listen carefully as I just read what he says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I could say a lot about this, but this is your job. This is your work that God has called you to do, is to think. He's not going to think for you. But to think often, in view of His many, many mercies, all the good things that He's done for you and for me, and how much He loves us and cares for us and has given us His Son. Paul says, in view of all of God's mercies, I want you to present yourself. Not your religious self, not your church-going Sunday self, but your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the things you choose to think about, that will renew you. So that's the third step toward renewal. The fourth step is this. We looked at waiting on the Lord. Again, not waiting on what you think God should be doing, but the Lord, He is your portion. Secondly, step toward renewal is look inward, not outward. Then we looked at looking at God's many mercies, thinking about them often. And finally, this part here. Rejoice that our renewal is ultimately God's work. Our efforts are responses to His prior grace. We talk a lot about that around here, that we are calling you to respond to His gospel. That's why it's good news that He took the initiative to love us and to care for us. And so we work, we can be renewed and place ourselves before Him as an offering, not for His love, not for His acceptance, but from it. From His acceptance, from His love. Because He has fully loved us, we can give ourselves to Him in return. Not to get Him to like us. Guess what? He already likes you. That doesn't sound biblical. I know He loves me. I'm not sure He really likes me. Sure He does. Our renewal is ultimately up to Him. If your renewal was ultimately up to you, guess what? You're in trouble. And I would be in trouble. I love some of these verses. Let me just read you a couple verses. Psalm 51. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Created me a clean heart. By the way, who's the creator? Yeah, it's not you looking in the mirror, right? We can't create a clean heart, a pure heart, a steadfast spirit. We can't do that for ourselves. Only God can do that. Lamentations, back to Lamentations. Chapter 5, verse 21, page 802. "Restore us to Yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Renew us." And finally, Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 24 through 27. Now, listen to these ideas. The Lord here through the prophet Ezekiel is talking about the new covenant, which is the new covenant in Christ's blood applied to the church. He says, I will give you. What does it say? Kind of a new heart, maybe a new heart. No, I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you. Remember, we're talking about renewal is ultimately God's work. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And finally, this idea of ultimately renewal is God's work. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. I can find that here. That he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, through renewal by the Holy Spirit. Our renewal is ultimately God's work. I just want to encourage you. I mean, there's so many directions I could go with this. Maybe I'll share from my little blue book, The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. From AA, the first step one is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. You say, well, that's not my problem. But you still can't change yourself. Powerless. Change is ultimately up to God. I often think of Peter, because I can really relate to Peter in a lot of ways. You remember before Jesus was betrayed, Peter said, you know, with his chest puffed out, and I don't care what everybody else does, I'll never deny you. Everybody else, oh, they're weak and they're whatever. You know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, of course. And Jesus said, Peter, before the night's over, you're going to betray me three times. And by the way, I have prayed for you. And when you return and your faith is renewed, strengthen your brothers. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says that he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able. Why? Because he intercedes for us. He prays for us. Our renewal is ultimately God's work. Our efforts are responses to his prior grace. Just say to him, Lord, I'd like to be renewed this coming year, but I don't have what it takes. Do you know what he'll do then? He'll slap you upside your head. Say, I can't believe that you're powerless. No, he won't, right? I'll say, I was kind of hoping that you'd come to that point and realize that you're powerless. That's okay. That's okay. I love you so much, and I'm praying for you. Your renewal, your sense of hope and joy, it's ultimately in my hands. Just respond to my many mercies. So, just want to encourage you. By the way, my encouragement is you can make all the New Year's resolutions you want, and some of you will. I never do anymore, by the way. But at your core, at your heart, only God can make you new. So commit yourself to him. And the last piece of encouragement I would give to you is look to Jesus as he stumbles along the way. He's stumbling with you, by the way. He's with you. He's not ashamed to call you brothers and sisters. He's stumbling along the way, holding the cross. He's doing all of this for you. And trust him. Just trust him. Even though he's bloodied and bruised and broken, and so are you, trust him when he says, I make all things new.